Hello and thank you for joining us today on Grant County Coronavirus Update. You are here on Gila Membres Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. It's March 17th, and I'll be your host for today, Marcus Hansen. Today we'll be joined by Kendra Milligan, Communications Specialist at the Center for Health Innovation, and Paris Connerly from Ford NM. And I'll be here to discuss their current efforts to distribute masks in the region and other various aspects of their organization. Following that, we'll be replaying the very first episode of Coronavirus Update from March 16th, 2020, with host and show producer Allison Civic, who was joined by Silver City Mayor Ken Ladner. First, the news. The New Mexico Department of Health on Tuesday announced 186 new cases of coronavirus for a total of 188,664 cases, with 30 additional deaths reported since last Tuesday for a total of 3,860 deaths in New Mexico. 137 individuals do remain hospitalized in New Mexico, with an increase of 9 since last week. As of Tuesday, 29.7% of New Mexicans have received their first dose of the two-shot vaccine for COVID-19, while 17.5% have been fully vaccinated. This is according to the COVID-19 vaccine dashboard provided by the New Mexico Department of Health. In Grant County, the Department of Health reports 53 COVID-19 cases since last week. This brings us to a total of 1,576 cases, and there are 246 active cases in the county as of Tuesday. However, no deaths have been reported in Grant County since last week. 35 people in Grant County have lost their lives due to COVID-19 since the beginning of the pandemic just 1 year ago. The Department of Health also reports 34% of Grant County residents are partially vaccinated and 18% are fully vaccinated. As of Monday, 50% of Grant County residents have registered for the vaccine. And we encourage all New Mexican residents to register for the COVID-19 vaccine. New Mexico is distributing vaccines swiftly, efficiently, and equitably as possible. Online registration is required, however, and to do so, go to vaccinenm.org. If you don't have access to the internet, you can call the following number. That's 1-855-600-3453. Again, that's 1-855-600-3453. And you can also contact the Grant County Public Health Office for assistance as well at 575-538-5318. Again, 575-538-5318. Effective immediately, the New Mexico VA healthcare system is now offering COVID-19 vaccines to all veterans in New Mexico enrolled in the VA. This is regardless of age or chronic health complications. Any enrolled veteran is eligible to get the vaccine. However, you must register for an appointment with the VA healthcare system by calling the following number. That is 505-265-1711 and use one of the following four extensions. They are 3195, 3916, 2912, and 2917. And I'll repeat all those right now. Again, that phone number is 505-265-1711. And extensions are the following four, 3915, 3916, 2912, and 2917. The department strongly encourages all veterans to register for the vaccine. If you're not enrolled with VA healthcare, again, please register for the COVID-19 vaccine online at vaccinenm.org, again, vaccinenm.org, or by phone at 1-855-600-3453. A reminder, the call center is open every day from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And a reminder from the state that the following groups are currently eligible for COVID-19 vaccination. This includes hospital personnel, residents and staff of long-term care facilities, medical first responders, congregate setting workers, persons involved or providing direct medical care and other in-person services, home-based health care and hospice workers, people 75 of age or older, and people 16 plus at risk of COVID-19 complications. The New Mexico Department of Health on Thursday announced that going forward, New Mexicans 60 years or older with chronic conditions that places them at severe risk of COVID-related health complications will be prioritized for vaccination appointments within the larger pool of New Mexicans with chronic health conditions. A reminder of the side effects of COVID-19, as your body learns to defend itself from the disease, you may feel uncomfortable for 2 or 3 days and may feel some of the following symptoms, including muscle pain, soreness in your arm, body aches, chills, feeling tired, and a fever. Side effects are a sign that your body is building up protection from COVID-19. They may be uncomfortable, but much less harmful than getting COVID-19. And a reminder that people are considered fully vaccinated for COVID-19 2 weeks after they have received the second dose of a two-dose series. Those are the Pfizer, BioNTech, or Moderna vaccines. Or 2 weeks after they received a single dose of the single-dose vaccine, that is, from Johnson & Johnson. A reminder that fully vaccinated people have certain things that they can do, including visiting with other fully vaccinated people indoors without wearing masks or physical distancing, and visiting with unvaccinated people from a single household who are at low risk for severe COVID-19 disease. Do refrain, however, from staying away from others or getting tested unless symptoms appear. A reminder that the state's red to green public health order, in which counties are evaluated over a two-week period for daily cases and test positivity rate, will be updated next week on Wednesday, March 24th. Grant County is currently in the yellow. Now let's look at some testing sites and times for COVID-19 testing. The Grant County Public Health Office at 2610 North Silver Street here in Silver City provides free testing every Tuesday from 8 to 10 and then from 2 to 4. Testing is free, but insurance will be requested upon registration. To do so, go to cvtestreg.animahealth.org. A reminder that testing may be delayed or canceled due to inclement weather. In Hidalgo County, the Hidalgo County Public Health Office, located at 530 DeMoss Street in Lordsburg, provides testing every Thursday from 9 to 11 a.m. A reminder to remain in your vehicles. Testing is free, but insurance will be requested upon registration. And there's also at cvtestreg.animahealth.org. Albertsons here in Silver City provides COVID-19 saliva tests at a cost. That cost is $120. It is not covered by insurance. The procedure goes as follows. Recipients register online via the Albertsons website, then receive a tube for saliva collection. The specimen is then mailed to a lab and results are sent back within 3 to 5 days. Also, at-home self-administered COVID-19 saliva test kits for accurate laboratory-confirmed results returned from within 24 to 48 hours of receipt of sample are being made available free to all New Mexicans at Vault Health. To find out more, go to vaulthealth.com. And for more ways to get tested here in Grant County and southwestern New Mexico, go to grantcountycoronavirusupdate.com. It's tax season if you qualify for a 2020 economic stimulus payment, also known as the individual payment from the COVID relief bill, but have not yet received it. Make sure to claim your recovery rebate credit on your 2020 tax return. Just visit irs.gov for more information. And printed copies of the Federal Form 1040 instruction books and New Mexico tax forms are available outside the Silver City Public Library's Cooper Street doors. This is during curbside hours. They also have AARP free tax assistance programs in a box by the doors. You can also get more help from AARP. The tax help number is 575-342-1892. Again, 575-342-1892. Now look at food pantry schedules. The Members Valley Health Action League Mobile Food Pantry is the only remaining food pantry this week, taking place today, March 17th, from noon to 2. The food pantry will be held at the Roundup Lodge at 94 Ackland Hill Road. To find out more, call 575-574-7674. Again, 575-574-7674. Silver Consolidated Schools is looking for qualified individuals to serve as substitute teachers for the district. Individuals will have flexibility in areas to substitute and buildings to serve in. Pay is based on educational background and experience. For those interested, contact Samantha Madrid at smadrid, that's S-M-A-D-R-I-D, at silverschools.org, or by calling the following number, that's 575-956-2000. That's 575-956-2000. The Provider Relief Fund supports families, workers, and the heroic healthcare providers in the battle against COVID-19. Health and Human Services is just distributing $178 billion to hospitals, healthcare providers on the front lines of the coronavirus response. To find out more, go to hhs.gov. The New Mexico State Bar is holding a consumer debt bankruptcy workshop from 6 to 8 p.m. March 24th via video and teleconference. At the workshop, an attorney will give a group presentation on bankruptcy. This is according to a news release. After the presentation, a one-on-one free consultation will be given by phone to people who register in advance. To do so, call 507-97-6094. Again, that's Let me start that again. 505-797-6094. The COVID-19 House Cost Assistance Program provides emergency housing grants to income-eligible households and residents of tribal lands experiencing financial hardship due to the COVID-19 crisis. These grants are housing assistance payments made on behalf of income-eligible applicants and residents of tribal lands up to $1,500 per month for a period of up to 3 consecutive months. And this is to maintain housing and or reduce the cost of housing delinquency due to the COVID-19 health crisis. The NM Mortgage Finance Authority will pay your past due housing payments directly to your landlord, mortgage or loan supervisor, escrow company, or other housing provider. To find out more, call either of the two following numbers, 505-308-4206. Again, that first number is 505-308-4206, or you can call 866-488-0498. Again, that's 866-488-0498. Applications are being accepted beginning March 4th, rather. The Restoration and Resilience COVID Relief Recovery Fund is providing grants to support public lands, including parks, nature areas, and other green spaces that have been impacted by increased use during the COVID-19 pandemic. Grants of up to $2,500 will be awarded. Nonprofit organizations, state or federal government agencies, federally recognized tribes, and local governments and educational institutions are eligible to apply. Upcoming deadlines are April 1st and June 1st. To find out more, go to neefusa.org. Financial support for infrastructure to support goals such as growing and improving economic viability of agricultural operations, increasing soil and ecosystem health, increasing access to healthy and cultural important food, and supporting the next generation of farmers and ranchers. Grants for that are available, or the deadline, rather, to apply for that is today, March 17th, and you can do so at newmexicofma.org. Again, that's newmexicofma.org. And due to the COVID-19 pandemic, there is assistance available to those who are not traditionally eligible for unemployment benefits. As relates to that need, the State Department of Workforce Solutions will open applications for the Mixed Earners Unemployment Compensation Fund starting Wednesday, March 10th, otherwise known as MEUC. This provides $100 in extra benefits to individuals with at least $5,000 in net income from self-employment in the tax year prior to the initial unemployment insurance claim. Please note that under the American Rescue Act, the deadline for MEUC applications has been extended to the first week of September. To apply, go to dws.state.nm.us. And due to the national public health emergency caused by coronavirus disease, the U.S. Department of Agriculture today announced the temporary suspension of past due debt collections and foreclosures for distressed borrowers under the Farm Storage Facility Loan and Direct Farm Loan programs administered by the Farm Service Agency. The temporary suspension is in place until further notice and is expected to continue while the National COVID-19 Disaster Declaration is in place. To find out more, go to usda.gov. The deadline to apply for the Economic Injury Disaster Loan for the COVID-19 Disaster Declaration has been extended through to December 31st. To apply and for more info, go to sba.gov. New Mexico businesses in all sectors are encouraged to receive training in COVID-19 safe practices to help ensure everyone's safety as New Mexico reopens for businesses and recreation. To find out more, go to nmsafecertified.org. And a bill has passed to move the Paycheck Protection Program deadline from March 31st to May 31st. If you need assistance in navigating the process for the Paycheck Protection Program, otherwise known as PPP, or any other relief programs, please do contact the Las Cruces office of Senator Martin Heinrich. That number is 505-523-6561. Again, 575-523-6561 for assistance. You can also visit his COVID-19 Resource Center online at heinrich.state.gov/coronavirus. And lastly, the New Mexico 5 Actions Program is an online self-guided program that offers learning and intervention tools for both substance use and behavioral addictions, including gambling, sex, and food, as well as content that addresses the underlying drivers of addiction, such as attachment, ACEs, and trauma. You're invited to join a free live one-hour training and discussion at 11 a.m. Our time Saturday, March 20th, in this training, you will learn how to understand grief and loss and its relationship to addiction, how to feel, process, and address grief without becoming overwhelmed, and to embrace an uncertain future. To register, go to eventbrite.com and search New Mexico 5 Action Program. Also from the 5 Actions program, whether you are a prescriber, pharmacist, clinician, counselor, social worker, peer support worker, community service worker, and or work in some other capacity that interfaces with people who experience addiction, you are invited to join them at 9 a.m. Mountain Time, again on Saturday, March 20th, to learn about this important new innovative program. In this training, you'll learn indications for use of the program, how to refer people to get them started with the program, important safety information, ideas of integration the program or integrating the program with your current practices, tools to enhance your presentation or present work, times for questions and discussion, and to find out more, go to eventbrite.com and again search New Mexico 5 Action Program. You are on Gila Members Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. You're currently listening to the coronavirus update for Wednesday, March 17th, and now we'll turn to this week's interview. Today, we are joined by Paris Connerly from the Frontier and Rural Workforce Development New Mexico Area Health Education Center, otherwise known as FORD-NM, which serves Grant, Catron, Hidalgo, and Luna counties. And this program is currently working on distributing masks and a mask up campaign here in the region. And also with us today is Kendra Milligan, communications specialist for the Center for Health Innovation. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, thanks for letting us be here today, Marcus.
It's my honor. So the vision of the Center of Health Innovation and FORD-NM, for short, is to enhance access to quality health care, particularly primary and preventative care, by improving the supply and distribution of healthcare professionals through community and academic educational partnerships. So let's start with you, Paris. What is FORD-NM outside of that whole description there? And what is an area health education center? And I guess, could you start with the history of the National Area Health Education Center program?
Yes. So AHEC, also known as Area Health Education Center, is a national organization that was founded by Congress in 1972. And we all have the same goal to recruit, train, and retain health professions workforce that is committed to underserved populations. And so FORD-NM, like as you said, we stand for Frontier and Rural Workforce Development in New Mexico. So we implement all of that, but try to get the more underserved and rural areas of New Mexico. Catron County is a huge rural area. So that's one of our service areas, as you mentioned. And we do this by programs through all the way from middle school up to collegiate level and then even afterwards.
Yeah, that is quite a big area. So this is both to both of you. What does the last year look like for the Center for Health and FORD-NM? And I guess we'll just keep it going with you, Paris, and start with you there.
The last year has been challenging, like it has been for a lot of other organizations, but we've been able to continue our regular efforts with our rural rotations and internships for students who are in a healthcare career field. And our pipeline activities, such as Dreammakers Program and Health Career 101, we've been able to continue. We also had a project this last year where we were able to partner with the American College of Rheumatology and implement the Lupus Awareness Initiative. This project, we offered trainings for CHWs, and it was open to the public as well, on lupus, and those trainings were offered in both English and Spanish, so it was kind of cool. And then we've also, the last year, been able to support the CHW program that's taking place at Silver Consolidated Schools and WNMU. Like I said, our regular efforts with our rotations and learners program and stuff. So
a lot of things going on there. So Kendra, let's turn it to you. How's your year been?
Wow, it's been a tough one for everybody, hasn't it, as we come up on the year. I would say it's been really interesting with Center for Health Innovation. You know, we run lots of programs through our nonprofit, and one of those is for New Mexico area health education, but we also have Southern area health education. So our nonprofit covers half the state, which is as big as the state of Oregon for area health education centers. And they've been working so hard to switch from this in-person hands-on training to go virtual. And I've been so impressed by Paris and their counterparts in Las Cruces changing it up and still being able to reach students who are so far away from each other and far away from us, because we've had to move to home offices. We've had to be very careful and, you know, put in all those health regulations. And I got to say, thanks to the proactiveness of our state about the pandemic, we've saved a lot of lives. And I know as our staff, fortunately, has also been very much part of the entire effort to see that our section of the state and the state itself stays safe and healthy. And Paris's new health mask initiative to educate the community has been really helpful. I think now more than ever, as we start seeing this pandemic fatigue take hold and people are starting to slip up and get tired of it all. And, you know, we, especially because they don't think it's as important to engage as a vaccine is coming out. And I think that's the time we have to be more careful than ever.
I guess this kind of leads into my next question as well. And Kendra, we'll keep it rolling along with you here. And that question is, what are some of the biggest challenges that you've seen over the year and how did you overcome them?
Well, I think it's been keeping positive as an organization. You know, like I said, it's been easier for us with a proactive governor who understands the importance of public health. And since Center for Health Innovation is New Mexico's public health institute, it's given us a boost because we've worked very hard to support frontline workers by sharing up-to-date information that's just coming out about COVID and the coronavirus, and also to continue educating healthcare professionals and paraprofessionals, which are those secondary health workers that do a lot of the footwork for main primary care health workers. Paris had mentioned the CHWs; those are community health workers, and they're the people who actually go into your home and can talk about nutrition with you and can talk about best ways to resolve issues you're having with lupus, but also to how to keep your home sanitized and how to keep healthy if you have asthma or lung problems or heart disease, and better care for yourself so you don't get COVID. And that's been one of the real challenges, is seeing that we can bring those paraprofessionals up to up-to-date information, especially how to interact with the community in a positive way, because sometimes you'll inadvertently say something you don't mean to be negative and people can take it wrong, and it can lead to people not being open to the vaccine or not being open to wear their masks anymore or not continue their safety measures. And Ford New Mexico has been really engaging all throughout Southwest New Mexico to see that people are still taking this health risk seriously and responding at multiple levels.
And Paris, I imagine a lot of these challenges are probably similar on your end. Is there anything you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, so Kendra did touch on a few, but one thing I did want to say that was a challenge for us in the beginning was getting our information out there to the families that we want to reach, and for recruitment purposes as well for some of our programs. But one thing I've learned through this pandemic is there's a lot of resources out there. Even for us as an organization, there's a lot of other organizations we're able to partner with or who can help us in areas that we're struggling in. And community members are also very proactive about spreading the word and helping our program's efforts. So I guess we couldn't really done any of this without the efforts of those around us as well.
I agree. It took the pandemic to make me realize how much is out there as far as services and benefits go for the people down here in this state, and especially this part of the state. So, Paris, how are our regional area health education centers working to combat the spread of COVID-19?
So, as you heard Kendra mention a few times, we have our Mask Up initiative right now, and we started this after we received some funding to help our community during the pandemic. And we're making these kits to distribute through all four of our counties and they contain masks, hand sanitizer, and informational materials on like proper hand washing and social distancing. And they also have resources for people if they want to go get tested. It's like where you can go get tested, how you can register for your vaccine and stuff like that. And also family support services are listed on there too. So I guess that's what we've been doing, is really just trying to educate the community. And like Kendra said, you know, we don't want people to start slacking now that there's a vaccine out. So we're still pushing that everyone's wearing masks and stuff. So.
And speaking of the vaccine, there's a lot of importance to masking up even if you've been vaccinated, which, I mean, for a lot of people, it's like, why? I'm vaccinated. So, Paris, could you tell us why?
Yes, because the vaccine only gives you 95% immunity. That is the best we have right now. And so there is still a small chance of contracting the virus, even if after you've been vaccinated. So, until we develop herd immunity, it's very important that everyone keeps wearing their masks. Even if you are not showing signs and symptoms, of course, and you don't feel sick or you're not around anybody who's sick, it's so important that you wear a mask.
Great. Thank you so much for clearing that up. Kendra, let's turn it to you. What efforts is the Center for Health Innovation taking to better educate healthcare professionals?
Well, most recently, we have our Project Echo, which is working with frontline workers who can reach out to very vulnerable populations and teaching them best practices for how to communicate, especially regarding pandemic diseases. And Project Echo, if you don't know, was actually started here in New Mexico in our very own UNM. And it was founded by a doctor who saw patients dying from rural areas because they couldn't get treatment fast enough or secondary care and follow-up care. And so he decided to start educating through telecommunications, and now it's Zoom, to all the rural and frontier community doctors. So if you were a doctor, a primary care physician in, let's just say, Silver City, and you had never dealt with somebody who might have a very strange and unique disease that isn't usually found in the population, you can go to trainings through Project Echo and learn from the experts up in Albuquerque or from around the state on how best you can treat your patient. So it's kind of like education, continuing education for physicians and primary care professionals. This way, they kind of learn what's going on and they can bring it back to their community and their patients, so that we don't have things like people having to wait for treatment to go to Albuquerque or Las Cruces or El Paso. Instead, we can get the treatment that saves lives in our own communities. And we've been working on that. The other is, and is a little less COVID related, but we have Update New Mexico, which is engaging primary care doctors and teaching them best practices for prescribing opioids. Because as you know, painkillers and substance abuse has increased across the state during the pandemic, as we've all been isolated and at home. And so we've been talking and teaching physicians how they can better recognize and treat people who might have issues with opioid addiction, opioid substance disorder use.
That's so important, certainly in rural areas. Just anywhere, not to negate the problems of urban areas as well. So another question for you, Kendra. The Area Health Education Centers are one of the programs from the Center for Health. What other programs does the center offer?
Well, one of our ones that's been very engaged right now is the New Mexico Community Data Collaborative. It's a big name for a group that comes together and actually creates maps all about public health statistics and data. And they've been on the cutting edge doing daily updates to tracking the COVID virus cases, but at a sub-county and census tract level. This has made it so that the state has been able to identify where vulnerable populations are and to send healthcare workers to them, but also to send vaccines and work on more equitable vaccine distribution, which really sounds odd, but, you know, part of the thing is to see that the rural communities receive as many vaccinations as our urban counterparts in like Las Cruces and Albuquerque and Santa Fe. I know we've all been very envious at times of the Highway 25 corridor, we all say, you know, up the Rio Grande Valley. And, you know, 50% of the state's population actually resides in the rural communities around, but they're dispersed. So how do you get vaccines to these dispersed populations? And that's been part of our efforts through mapping. Also, we have a prevention department that supports Grant, Luna, and Dunana County residents in prevention of substance misuse by youth through environmental and policy changes. And that's been working really hard right now as we see more people drinking and more people using substances as they shouldn't. And, you know, kind of engaging the communities to remind them, watch out for these factors in youth and to respond and get them help they need early.
Wonderful. And so, well, I guess going back to the whole mapping and, you know, keeping track of vaccine distribution, how has that worked out so far?
It's been incredible because we've been able to see at sub-county and neighborhood levels the responses, and also to be able to respond and get vaccines to areas that are having increased cases to try and stem the tide before it gets too bad. And I would say that entirely as a whole, our state shows that we're really responsive to communities, and the vaccine coming out and people being more aware of health regulations has led to a lot of us trying to get to the green, or the turquoise as it were now, levels, and open up our state again. And I think if you go by just a few months and over 30-40% of the state has been vaccinated now, that's an incredible outcome.
Yeah, it's really impressive to see how far we've come in such a short time as far as the vaccine distribution goes. Now, another service I noticed, or I guess a model that you emphasize, is called the Grow Their Own model. Who would like to tell me about that?
I can tell you about that. The Please. Grow Your Own model is a model that Forward NM uses to kind of like grow our own healthcare professionals. And it's implemented in 5 different stages. And those stages include introducing a student to a healthcare career, and then supporting them in their undergraduate studies, then supporting them in their graduate studies. And I mean, we have plenty of ways of doing that. But as I mentioned before, we help place students in rotations and internships who need like clinical hours and such. And then the next step in that model is recruiting students for positions in rural areas. And then step 5 would just be to continue offering this support for them as they're in their health career.
One of the things is the idea behind growing your own is studies have shown that people from small rural communities, if they receive degrees in healthcare, they tend to actually come back and serve other small rural communities. And as you know, New Mexico has a huge gap in primary care physicians, but actually all healthcare providers. And our idea that has been carried out for, I think, over a decade with Forward New Mexico Area Health Education Center is to introduce students early to the opportunities that healthcare provides. It's stable income, you get great employment opportunities, and there's a lot of room for growth in careers through healthcare. I know many people who have started as CNAs, certified nursing assistants, and end up becoming doctors or full nurses or other healthcare professionals. And by getting students in early and giving them the support that maybe, you know, you might have a great support system in an urban area, but in small rural communities, I've been interviewing students in the Forward New Mexico Grow Your Own program. Many times they have never set foot on a college campus when they're in high school. And Forward New Mexico brings them not only to our local campus, but before the pandemic, took them up to UNM to see the health science center there, and showed them that there are the opportunities and the possibilities for them to follow these career paths, but also gives them the support to be successful at it. And there are a lot of steps to become a doctor or a nurse that you may not be aware of as a general public, and they help them navigate through it beautifully and be successful. We've even had doctors come out of the program, and every year we also host future doctors from around the state in Silver City to work on community projects and learn what benefits they could get by serving rural communities. Because if you're a doctor in a big city, you're one of thousands. If you're a doctor in a small community, you're a precious gem to every person there.
And how long has this program been going on?
Over a decade, closer to 20 years, but it's gotten fully fledged in the last 10.
Very interesting. So for programs like this, or really anything that your organization has to offer, how can people get in touch and take advantage of this, Paris?
So we're always available by phone, but you can always look up CHI's Facebook page. Every one of our organizations within the organization has their own Facebook page. You can find Forward NM on Facebook. Forward NM's number for everyone is 575-597-0030. And you can always call and ask us any questions.
And they can also visit the CHI website, which is chi-phi.org.
Excellent. So yes, that number again, 575-597-0030. Thank you for sharing your time today. I really appreciate it. It's really important stuff to get out there, and a good program to make people aware of as well. Are there any final words before we part ways today?
No, I just want to thank you for the opportunity for us, like you said, to get that information out there. I really, really appreciate it.
Totally. Kendra?
I'd just like to add to everybody that mask up New Mexico, and remember, we're in the land of unmaskment. So keep it going, and let's see us all go green. And thanks for the opportunity today, Marcus.
My pleasure. We'll see you. Hope maybe we'll talk soon.
A reminder, you are here on GMCR, KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. Now we're going to take a look back 1 year and replay the first episode of Coronavirus Update from March 16th, 2020. In this episode, host and show producer Allison Civic is joined by Silver City Mayor Ken Ladner.
Good afternoon. This is Allison Civic, Executive Director of Gila Resources Information Project. Thank you for joining us for a Coronavirus Update. Today is the first daily show on the local response to the coronavirus pandemic, brought to you by Gila Members Community Radio, Gila Resources Information Project, Healthy Kids, Healthy Communities Grant County, and National Center for Frontier Communities. Every day at noon for 15 minutes, we will bring to you the latest information on local community strategies to slow the spread of the coronavirus. We'll hear from the New Mexico Department of Health and local health care providers, local government and school officials, and local social service providers. And recognizing that school and workplace closures will broadly impact our community, information will also be provided on resources as they become available, and anything else that will help us all get through this public health crisis and take care of everyone in our community. We are committed to providing you with the latest information on the local coronavirus response and to answering your questions. Please post your questions on Gila Members Community Radio's Facebook page at Gila Members Community Radio, and we'll do our best to get them answered by our guests. As of today, March 16th, there are 17 presumptive positive cases of coronavirus disease in New Mexico, according to the New Mexico Department of Health. Grant County currently does not have any positive cases of coronavirus. Department of Health Secretary Kathy Kunkel amended the state's emergency order on Sunday. Access to restaurants, bars, breweries, and other eating establishments will be limited to 50% of maximum occupancy. Also on Sunday, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, or CDC, issued a recommendation that for the next 8 weeks, organizers cancel or postpone in-person events that consist of 50 people or more throughout the United States. I'm going to start out today's show with the basics on the coronavirus from the CDC. The coronavirus is a new virus. Doctors and scientists are still learning about it, and there is currently no vaccine to prevent coronavirus disease. So the best way to prevent illness is to avoid being exposed to the virus. The CDC believes that the coronavirus spreads mainly from person to person. It spreads between people who are in close contact with one another within about 6 feet through respiratory droplets produced when an infected person coughs or sneezes. And these droplets can land in the mouths or noses of people who are nearby or possibly be inhaled into the lungs. And droplets can also land on frequently touched surfaces. So what can we do to protect ourselves and to help slow the spread of the coronavirus? Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds, especially after you've been in a public place or after blowing your nose, coughing, or sneezing. If soap and water aren't readily available, use a hand sanitizer that contains at least 60% alcohol. Cover all surfaces of your hands and rub them together until they feel dry. And avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth with unwashed hands. And remember to cover your cough or sneeze. We also need to be cleaning and disinfecting frequently touched objects like our cell phones, doorknobs, light switches, countertops, and computer keyboards. And finally, we also need to practice what's called social distancing, which means reducing close contact between people so that we can slow down the spread of coronavirus. And this includes self-quarantining if you're vulnerable or when you are sick. And we're going to be talking more in depth about these topics with our guests this week. So there's lots of excellent information on the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention website at cdc.gov/COVID-19 and on the New Mexico Department of Health website at cv.nmhealth.org. And there's lots that communities can do to slow the spread of the coronavirus so that we don't overwhelm our healthcare system with a spike in coronavirus cases. And this is known as flattening the curve. And with me today to talk about Silver City's response to the virus is Mayor Ken Ladner. Welcome, Mayor Ladner.
Good morning, Allison.
And I should say that that Mayor Ladner is on the phone, so we're doing our duty here. So with social distancing, and Mayor, I want to start off today by asking you about the town of Silver City's policy that was issued on Friday in response to the coronavirus, with cancellation of public events and town property and closure of town facilities. Tell us more about the closure and your thinking in issuing this policy to enforce social distancing.
Yes. Well, as you know, the purpose of the role of Silver City is to provide for the health, the safety, and the welfare of our citizens, and we don't take that role lightly. Our town manager, Alex Brown, has met with all of his department heads, and together they have created a plan. And so I want to assure the citizens of Silver City that the city will continue to provide all of the basic and essential services that are needed by our citizens. But at the same time, we want to take reasonable steps to ensure the safety and well-being of the public and the town personnel. For example, in the Silver City Library and the Museum and the Rec Center, especially the museum, we have people from all over the country that come there. And so there's two issues there. One is the people who work there, you know, we have to protect them. But then there's also the issue of if someone has the virus, so we don't want it to spread. And so the town manager, in concurrence with me, decided that we would close certain services. And so the museum, the library, and the rec center have been temporarily closed. And our town manager, Alex Brown, has been working with some private groups to see what they could do. And as a matter of fact, the Tour of the Healer has been canceled, the Blues Fest, the Continental Divide Trail Days has all been canceled. Again, this is just in keeping practices with the guidelines that have been issued by not only the CDC, but the New Mexico Secretary of Health.
Yes.
So, for example, I said that all essential services will be provided. So how do we do this and still, you know, keep people from coming in direct contact with each other? Well, an example is paying your water bill. So we'd like to encourage people to pay their water bill by either mailing your payment in or going online at the town website or paying over the phone. You can just call in to City Hall. You know, normally there can be fees associated with some of these alternate methods of payments. However, the town will be waiving all of those additional fees.
Okay, well, great. Thank you for doing that. So how long are these closures in effect? Is it through mid-April or through the end of April?
Well, we'll be closing them for 3 weeks starting March the 16th, the museum, the library, and the rec center. So when I say temporary or closing, that gives us a target date to look at. Nobody knows where this is going, right? So we might have to reevaluate at some point, but this is the plan so far.
Okay, that's great. And you, Mayor, mentioned before we went live that you had just met with the managers of all of our grocery stores in town, and you had some information to pass along to our listeners.
Yeah, the managers of the three major grocery stores in Silver City have all emphasized that they still get shipments every week, about three shipments every week. And so there's no reason to panic buy or hoard. One manager gave me the example of a senior citizen coming in and needing some real basic supplies. But by the time they could get to the grocery store, that shelf was empty. And so the best practice is to let's think of our neighbors and let's just buy what we need, because we're not going to run out. They have all assured me that their shipments are continuing to come in. And as a side note, I spoke with one restaurant owner who said that they will soon be starting a curbside pickup. And they have taken steps. You know, they have all of their servers wearing gloves and continuing to wash their hands. And another grocery store manager said that in the near future, they plan to start delivering to seniors. But he's going to announce that program later on.
Yes, that's really great. And hopefully, as this goes along, this will be a daily show every day from starting at noon. And we hope to have guests on and who can tell us about these services as they become available. So I'm so glad people are thinking about these ideas and ways in which we can adapt to this new reality. So, Mayor, I wanted to give you just an opportunity in closing, what your message is to our community as we are all confronted by this coronavirus challenge.
Sure. You know, we have a great community, and I think it's normal to worry about these things. And so I think it's really important for us not to panic or submit to fear, you know. But on the other hand, we can't take this threat lightly. And you've explained some of the steps and so on that we can take to do our very best to keep it from spreading if indeed it does come here. And we all have a duty to educate ourselves on how to lessen that possibility. We're a strong community, you know, and I know that we will come through this challenge being proud of our conduct as neighbors and citizens of town of Silver City. So let's all work together as brothers and sisters in this community.
Thank you so much, Mayor, and thank you as well to your staff for your proactive response to the coronavirus. And thank you so much for updating us today. And we'd love to have you on another time when updates warrant it.
You bet. And once again, I just want to thank our town manager, Alex Brown, and all of the staff and department heads. They have really been working tirelessly to put together the plans that they would need to implement. So thank you again, Allison.
Yes, thank you. So tomorrow on Coronavirus Update, our guest is Dr. Chris Engdahl with Silver Healthcare, who will answer questions about the coronavirus disease. And remember to post your questions on Facebook on the Gila Members Community Radio Facebook page at Gila Members Community Radio. And thank you so much for joining with us today for our first show. And join us tomorrow at noon for Coronavirus Update here on Gila Members Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City.
And if you'd like to hear this episode again or miss part of it and like to hear it, it will be up online at gmcr.org. Thank you so much for joining us today on Coronavirus Update. Of course, we are online at grantcountycoronavirusupdate.org. If you missed any of today's information or just want to catch up with it, that is the place to go. There is also a mailing list that you can sign up for that comes out once a week on Wednesdays. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much for joining us today. You are here on Gila Members Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. We'll see you next week.